spend yet another $1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty Points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty Points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
This is Larry Connors, and I think I drove by your house the other day. It looks great, but I noticed you might have some shingles missing and maybe some other roof damage. Take a moment to call my friend John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Subway has an amazing deal going on now for the entire month of February. All classic footlongs are just $6 or less each. Hurry in. Deal ends soon. Subway, founded on fresh.
Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers is celebrating its big 4-0. Register online in the Dobbs 40th Anniversary Sweepstakes at gotodobbs.com. Big prizes, big thanks from the Dobbs family and the Dobbs family of associates to you, Dobbs. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 years of age to enter. See store for details.
Looking forward to spring?
Do bears bear? Do bees bee?
Well, so is Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, just a mile west of 141, where better homes and backyards begin. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
Crossing the highway late last night, it should have looked left and it should have looked right.
Is that that weird looking kid on the bridge in Deliverance?
Wagon, car. The skunk got squashed.
He's not a bad singer. It's Thursday, which means you're going to have an opportunity to say hello to Scott Sherman and ask him a question. In fact, let's say hello to him now. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Frank.
I have a couple of things before we take people's questions. One, there's a story in the news. Let me read you this story, and then you help me understand why the charge is what it is. You're not a criminal lawyer, right?
I do some of it, but it's not what I specialize in. But I've done it.
Guy in New York State.
Yeah.
Killed his wife. They're married 51 years. He admitted he used a camping tool and a fireplace poker to beat her in their apartment. Now, according to the Leader Herald, a newspaper of Gloversville, New York, testified during a preliminary hearing. He's 70, by the way. He had an argument with his wife on February 10th. Then he said that later on he attacked his wife, she's 70, while she was asleep, with a hatchet, a camping shovel, hit her in the head with those, and then the handle broke while he was hitting her, so he grabbed a fireplace poker and hit her with that, and then he stabbed her with something else. He really murdered her. He's charged with second-degree murder. if that's second-degree murder, what's first-degree murder?
It's supposed to be the same thing. When you plan it in advance, it's first-degree murder. Now, what they might be doing here is
saying that he was fueled from his anger at the moment of the fight, and he hadn't planned it before that.
That what they could say is that he had that rage had not dissipated such that he was cold-hearted enough to have then rejoined in a planned murder. I think him being 70 is like this. What difference does it make if they get him for 25 years or life? Because he ain't going to make it that long. And it might be easier to prove, because he's admitted he did it, now they've got him.
Now, the other thing I did, and maybe you can help us in another week or two or three with this, I went online and I thought, I'm going to find some questions, sample questions, that you get when you take the bar exam. Ooh. And every state has a different bar exam, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I knew it was hard, because John F. Kennedy Jr. took it 8 times before he passed it. But first of all, this guy was no rocket scientist. John F. Kennedy Jr. was not a really smart guy. And if you read much about him at all, and the proof that he wasn't smart was he took off in that airplane up in New York in that horrible weather, and he didn't even have an instrument rating. And he let his wife talk him into flying in that mess. So he was kind of a stupid guy. But I've heard other people talk the bar exam. Now, I went online, and first of all, you can buy packets. They'll sell you packets to study
Yeah.
for the bar exam.
You should.
But I did find one site. The problem is, and I was going to throw one of these at you, the problem is every single sample question goes on. This is not like when we took the SAT or the ACT. Jim bought 100 tons of lumber. Here's the shortest thing I could find. It's under this heading, family law.
Okay.
Family law. IV, which is 4.A, point, comma, B, point, comma, E, point, semicolon, VI, point, F, point. I don't even know what that means. That's a section of a section of a paragraph. And here's what it says.
Yeah.
Legal problems. One, when a child has no home state, what state has jurisdiction to issue a valid child custody decree? Number two, must a court defer to the preference of an older child when awarding custody? Number three, under the U.S. Constitution, may a state statute authorize a court to grant a grandparent custody of a child without giving any special weight to the best interests determination of a fit and available parent? One, I don't even understand that question. And then it has discussion and summary. Folks, I'm not kidding. I could never have been an attorney. I can't even understand any of this. It's written here. Under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act, or the UCCJEA, when a child has no home state, i.e. a state in which the child has resided for prior to 6 months.
Let me take a crack at it.
I can't even get to where the answer is.
I would say it's the home state of the custodial parent.
Well, let's say you're right.
Wow.
It says the state A statute under which grandparents have brought a custody petition is probably unconstitutional. In Troxell versus Granville. Here's the other thing. I've noticed that you have this ability, and we'll say, well, Scott, what happens if, blah, 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 and you'll say, well, in Jameson versus Granston, 1940, how in the world do you remember all this?
I am so glad you asked me this. For the last hour, I've been sitting in Josh Gilbert's office talking to him about Justice Scalia because not allowed to talk about anything on any other place except your show. And I was going through all of the cases that he was involved in that were really important since 1987, and I just happened to read cases as sort of what I do as a hobby. It's a very strange hobby.
It's great for what you do, though.
And it's fun because every case is a story. And it's just like talking about the movies or talking about music or talking about sports. I read these cases, and to me, every story, or just about every story, is interesting. So it's like saying, well, in that movie with those guys that go shoot those deers from Vietnam, well, you would say, well, then the deer hunter. So that's why, that's the only reason I know it, is that it's sort of a hobby.
Pretty impressive. Folks, sometime when you got nothing to do, go online and pull up some sample Missouri, any state for that matter, bar exam questions.
Frank, I've got the multi-state questions from God knows how long ago.
But they're not something we can do on the air. It's not like a fifth grade exam where we can go.
We could.
You know, what do you call the scientific element that when combined with oxygen produces blah, blah, blah.
No, we could. We could do that. They're multiple choice.
I bring them in sometime.
Okay, I will gather them and we'll bring them in.
I would love for us to take a run at our answers.
Okay.
To these and are there on the bar exam? Are there multiple, like an SAT or an ACT?
Yeah,
are
there,
ABCD?
2 days for most states, except California and New York, I think, are three. And 1 day is what's called the multi-state, where every single person sitting in every jurisdiction at the exact same time takes the exact same questions in the exact same order. That's day one. Then the next day, or the day before, depending on which day the multi-state is, they sit down and take an essay exam for the different states and their laws. So there is a multiple choice ACT, SAT style question and answer that is multiple choice.
And who grades your bar exam?
Some kind of a computer.
Really?
And then with the essays, the people that are on this committee in every state, they'll sit and do it. But I'll tell you, it's really a good exercise in test taking, because the question isn't A, B, C, D, yellow, blue, red, and green. It's yes, if, no, because, no, unless. It's really frustrating because a lot of the times they try to play games with the answers. But there are enough of these questions, like the way you do it with callers, that you would have a really strong answer based on what you already know.
Wow. So the bar exam takes 2 full days.
That's 2 full days.
How many hours each day?
Oh, it's like 8 hours each day.
Honest to goodness, I thought it would take like a full week, like 7 days or 5 days, if, 2 days.
If you don't pay for and attend and are seriously practicing a bar testing company's seminar after law school, this is after 3 years of law school, you are an idiot. And,
well, here's the genius of Frank Abagnale. Frank Abagnale, yeah. if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, this is the guy who passed himself off as a doctor, a pilot, and an attorney. He passed the bar.
That's amazing.
Yeah. On his own, just studying it on his own, and he passed the bar.
And that guy asked him in the movie, remember, he said, how in the world did you... How did you pass the bar, or how did you fake passing the bar exam? And he says, I didn't.
No, he actually passed.
That's right.
Now, that's incredible to me. Yeah, and I think he could have passed whatever medical exam there is if he had studied. He just had like a photographic memory, and he was brilliant.
Between now and next Thursday, I will get a hold of a sample bunch of multi-state questions that they have retired. And I will make sure you get a copy of them, the questions, or however you want to do it, and we'll go through them.
Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, okay? There was a guy who did a biography, and Walton allowed him to spend, I'm going to guess, I think it was 30 days with him, just every day, from morning to evening, stayed with Sam Walton. And I remember when I read this article or portion of the book, they go out one day to get in Sam's airplane. He had a twin-engine plane. He had no pilot's license. He had no pilot training. And they get in, and the guy starts asking him about how long he's been a pilot. He goes, oh, I'm not really a pilot. and he says, well, wait a second. Where'd you go to learn to fly? He said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, I read a book. He read a book and bought an airplane. Not just a plane, a twin-engine plane, and just from reading and studying a little bit about aerodynamics and looking at some diagrams, he just got in it and took off.
Frank, I'm not a pilot. You're a pilot. How incredibly difficult is that?
It's not hard to take off at all. Anybody could do it. But landing, that's a different deal. That's a whole different deal. And then navigating, and he said when he was in the cockpit with him, he was flying in airspace he shouldn't have been in, and when the controllers and the people started chattering and jabbering and calling him and trying to reach him on the radio, it started to aggravate him. He just shut the radios off and just kept flying. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's a different kind of mind.
That's right.
That can do that. All right, I'm going to do a bit of business. And you already have calls because I see them on the screen, but I'm going to give the numbers. I'll do one bit of business. We're going to jump right in with our segment. On this side of the law, that's what we'll call it, 314-969-KTRS, which is 587-KTRS. Is that right, 587? I just had a mental block.
5877, yes.
Yeah. You ever have that where something just doesn't seem right? Like you write a word.
And you look at it.
The word green, and you go, it doesn't look right, G-R-E-E-N. 888-550-KTRS for any cell phone, star KTRS. I want you to go to Amini's, folks, and I want you to try to go before the end of the weekend. Not that after that it won't still be spectacular, but why keep putting this off? Just go to Chesterfield Valley. Maybe you're already headed there. Maybe you're going to one of those big outlet malls, which I've still never been to either one of those. But make a point to go to Amini's, even if that's the only reason you go to Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Annie Guns is there, Smokehouse is there. But under this copper dome is a store that recently did about $250,000. I don't want to say renovation because it wasn't falling apart. I thought it was fine the way it was. But Amini's, R.H. Amini has a different mind, a different brain than we do. So what he has done is he has put together, as far as I know, the only collection of some the finest furniture made in the world. Let's put it that way. We've got a lot of furniture stores around here, and they're fine. And their furniture is perfect furniture for most people. But then you get those people who, that's not good enough. They want the best of the best. That's what's sitting in Amini's. Wait until you see this furniture collection. And wait until you see the new lighting display of Jaffe Lighting. And then, of course, you know they have the pinball and the arcade and the shuffleboard and all jukeboxes and all that stuff. This is one fantastic store. And the one thing they don't sell is junk. They will not sell junk. Patio furniture, now is the time to get the patio furniture you will not be replacing, maybe for the rest of your life. This is the best patio furniture made in the world. And if you're tired of replacing patio furniture, get into Amini's. You custom order it now, unless there's something in stock, and you'll have it when this weather breaks and you're sitting outside. Amini's in Chesterfield Valley. A-M-I-N-I-S, Amini's.com.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law.
All right, this is your chance to get easy-to-understand legal advice. You may have to put up with me butting in playing amateur lawyer just to see how close I can come. Because I'm telling you, I'm never going to go do all the studying that's required to take that exam. So one more time, maybe the last time, 314-969-KTRS, 888-550-KTRS. Or from any cell phone, star KTRS. Tom is up first. Tom, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call. Well, first of all, I wanted to say, October of 2014, I had a brand new roof put on my place. And the total amount came to right at $4,000.
I had a little hiccup in your signal. You said you had a new roof put on your house.
I had a new roof put on my house.
Okay.
And it was right at $4,000. A couple months later, it started leaking. And a small leak in the kitchen. I got a picture of it where it was stained. And the only time that it really leaks is when it's a real hard rain and it's windy. So I called the roofing company, so I'll have a guy out there the first thing in the morning. No one showed up. I texted him back. Did you forget me? No, we got busy. He said, I'll get on as soon as possible. Well, I've been texting. He will not answer his phone when I call or I get a voice message. We texted back and forth, over and over and over every time it rained real hard. And 3 or 4 months later, he finally sent a guy out, and he just patches it with some tar, and he said, that should be okay. Well, now I got to wait for another hard rain. And that could be a month or two later. When it did, it started leaking again. I texted him back. Okay, I'll get on it. And he said, I'll be over Wednesday or Thursday. Well, this goes on. I have it all on my phone, the text messages back and forth. It's been going up until now.
Tom, did he ever fix the roof to the satisfaction of you and, I guess, the integrity of a reasonably fixed roof?
No.
Okay, here's what you do. You need to get a lawyer because what you have here is a contract with them when they did the work. Now, you may have a breach of contract action based on the fact that they didn't fix the roof right. You may
unless there is no contract.
Unless there is no. Did you have a written contract with this company?
I've got a written contract.
Very good.
And it says at the bottom, all work performed has a 5-year workmanship warranty.
Okay, well, there's your implied warranty and your direct warranty on that with a statute of limitations or at least a term of how long that is to be serviceable. What you have to do, because you're talking about suing a company, is you have to get in touch with a lawyer and see if that lawyer can get their insurance company to fix it at their expense or have you sue them for what it would cost to put that roof into repair. You have to mitigate your damages. You can't just sit there and wait for the rain to come, have it rain inside your house and say, it ruined my entire house. So if you have to get it patched or you have to hire somebody else to fix it right, you need to get on that. But start with a lawyer.
Tom, I have one other suggestion. Call this knucklehead, whoever it is, not a reputable roofing company. We don't want to know the name of it. You call them and you tell them you got a TV station coming out to do a story, one of these rip-off stories. That's the last thing they need, is to be on TV as a company that rips people off.
That's right. That's an Elliot Wyler, Channel 2.
Elliot Davis.
No, Elliot Wyler. Elliot Davis is the you paid for it guy. This is the guy that does the consumer.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Oh, yeah, and then you got
guy.
Chris Nagus. And
right,
they
exactly.
all have this
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every station has this guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, he won't know that you've set the appointment with the TV guy. Tell him you have. See, I got a TV crew coming out. They're going to love this story.
And, okay, Frank?
Yeah.
The problem is, every time that I've tried to call him, he will not answer his phone.
Well, he gets your text. He gets your text, right?
And my next question is, I got a good 10 texts, and I've got several pictures. Are these text messages and pictures on my phone permissible in court.
They are admissible if they can be authenticated, and you can authenticate them if you're testifying by sitting there and saying, yes, these are the texts that I sent. Yes, these are the texts that he sent. And sometimes I go through a nightmare with some of these cell phone providers. You can get an affidavit from the cell phone company saying, yes, these are the texts, these are the contents. But usually you do not have a problem. They are okay to be brought into court.
Tom,
yes.
Tom, you said you're texting back and forth, so this person's obviously getting your texts. I'd send him a text saying, I got a TV station very interested in this ripoff story, and I'd send, give him the same thing in a voice message on his voicemail. He'll get that message.
That's very
and say,
okay.
I've got a TV station really interested because they love these stories about companies like you and putting them on prime time at night for the rest of the world to see.
Okay.
See if that gets his attention.
That's great advice, and probably a quicker response is what Frank said.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that first.
All right, Tom. Good luck.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Mary's up next. Mary, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Great, Mary.
Hey, I am 52 years old, and for the first time, I received a large brown envelope from the federal courthouse in East St. Louis, a summons for jury duty.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
At least it didn't explode.
Yes.
What you need to do is go there.
I am planning on it. I've already been there once just to make sure I know the route, even though I have to have it called until March 4th. But we got lost on the way there. So
well, what's your question? Is your question for Scott? How do you get out of it? Is that your question?
Well, no, I know how I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to tell them that I listen to you on the radio.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you out of it in a minute.
What is your question?
My question is, what is there a percentage of a month that there are more cases heard? Like, is March going to be kind of a good chance that I get called, or not?
It depends on the case. They are not going to tell you until you get there what the case is even about, until you're put into what's called the voir dire situation, where the whole jury pool, not the 12 people, but the whole panel of people, like you're going in for a job interview, are sat down and told what the case is about. Might be a criminal case, might be a civil case, don't know what it is. And then at that point, the lawyers on each side of the case, whether it's a federal government or it's private lawyers, are going to ask a series of questions, and everybody in the pool will raise their hand, fill out some kind of a form, and then they'll decide, are you somebody, Mary, that we want on our jury, or are you somebody we don't want on our jury? And, of course, because you listen to the show, you are smart, you are reasonable, you are open-minded, and they will not want you on the jury.
Oh, great.
Now, you will find out that the process by which jury duty works is annoying and frustrating and off-putting at the beginning, and can be one of the most rewarding things you do in your life.
And isn't it a lot of sitting around
it's
and waiting?
Take a book.
Yeah.
But isn't it also easy to get out of? Because, Mary, if you went in there and said, oh, man, I sure hope the defendant's black, if you say something like that, they're going to dismiss you.
If you own your own business, too, I think, right? Or if
I don't know.
They will take that into consideration as a hardship on your family if you're the primary breadwinner. But by and large, once you get into that room, you will get a feel for what this thing is about and who they really want. And they do want open-minded people. But you will most likely have no idea how this is going to go until you sit down in that courtroom, and you would be subject to these voir dire questions. Hey, Mrs. So-and-so, what do you think about the idea of people being innocent until proven guilty? Well, I think it's crazy. He's obviously guilty because he's sitting there. You're excused. But I don't know what to tell you other than it is an honor for you to do it, primarily because I didn't get called for jury duty. So congratulations.
Oh, that's true. You can't, can you?
Well, no. I can. But congratulations. It's a great civic honor. I'm glad I didn't get called for jury duty.
I'm glad you did.
Do your best.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Mary. We love you, too. And in a sexual way.
I have never been called for jury duty.
I have, but I'm self-employed. Mm. And that got me off of it. I understand it's tougher now to play that card. But seriously, if I go, well, I'm locked up for 2 months, I don't get paid for 2 months.
Yeah, no, that hardship exemption is still a very strong card for all self-employed people to play. Not because they want to get out of it, because you have to work. You're not supposed to go broke at jury duty.
Let's go to Dale. Dale, say hi to Scott Sherman.
How you doing, Scott?
Great, Dale.
AM and the PM.
Thank you, Dale.
Hallelujah. My question is, for the state of Missouri, what is the statute of limitations for home repair, like siding, foundation?
It's a contractual thing if you had work done. A written contract sometimes will have a smaller or a shrunken statute. Basically, it's about 5 years you would have in order to bring an action. Missouri has one of the longest statutes of limitation. It's generally 5 years on breaches of contract and negligent work. So if it was 20 years ago, you're out. If it was somewhere between 5 and 10, you should have that contract looked at by a civil lawyer to see if the contract is 5 years or the contract is 10 years. You might have that window, and they might try to shrink it. I would start with 5 years. If it's safely within the 5-year zone, I'd definitely be...
It was done in 2011, so I'm right at the 5.
You're right at the 5. I'd be on the phone with somebody about that does that kind of civil litigation.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, before we break, we'll come back and we'll pick right up with this. I just want to make one quick statement about roofing. Certainly there are credible roofing companies, but one of the biggest areas where you can get ripped off is the roofing business, because everybody is easy prey after a storm. Nobody wants to keep putting buckets on the floor. And I'll just quickly tell you, I had a guy come to my door, and unfortunately my wife was home and I wasn't. She answered the door, and this guy said, you know, we're in the neighborhood, and if you don't mind, no charge, we'd like to take a look at your roof, because there had been a little storm. And so she says, oh, sure. So she lets him go over there. Well, she doesn't see what's up there, so he tells my wife, he says, you've got fairly extensive damage. This roof's going to have to be replaced. Here's my card. Da, 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 da. I came home, and I said, this is BS. I promise you this is BS. I called Bob Frederick. Okay, Frederick, he sent somebody out to the house, calls me back and says, your roof is fine. There's nothing with your, it's good for many, many, many years, unless there is a storm that really does damage it. That's the difference. That's what you have to be careful about. So for what it's worth, that roofing thing, and there are a couple other categories like that too, where it's so easy, especially older people, to take advantage of them. I'm going to do a quick bit of business. Peon, we'll break, do some more for you, then we'll get back to these calls for Scott Sherman. Schaefer, well, here's a good Schaefer Auto Body. There's a body, it's a national company. And I see their commercials, and you guys know who I'm talking about. We'll paint your whole car for $300. $300. That is impossible to paint a car properly, an entire car. It can't be done for $300. Schaefer's not going to paint your whole car for $300. They're going to paint part of it or all of it or whatever needs to be done to get it back the way it was before the accident, and they're going to do it right. And whatever it costs, it costs. That's why you have insurance. They're not going to hold you up or rob you. Insurance company's not going to put up with that. They know if somebody's sticking it to them. But they also know if somebody's charging an appropriate fee to do perfect work. That's what they want. That's what you want. That's the only way Schaefer knows how to do it perfectly. 10 locations, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. That's who you want that vehicle to go to if you're unfortunate enough to be in an accident. And the average person, they say, is in a body shop every 7 years. So if it's every 7 or every 4, as is the case for a while when I had teenage drivers at home, Schaefer, remember that name. If you want to know which location is closer to you, here's the website, SchaeferAutobody.com.
All right, let's get a check on traffic right now with Timothy Weiland.
Yeah, we've got a few things going on here, Dan. You've got on southbound 270 at Gravoy, I can't see it on the camera, but you know there's an accident or something blocking lanes because you have a solid jam that goes all the way back to Doherty Ferry. Now, we have emergency vehicles on westbound Highway 40 before Ballas. We have stop-and-go traffic on eastbound 270 from east, well, right at McDonald now through New Florissant. Westbound 40 also jamming up from Compton out through McCausland, southbound 170 from Delmar. down through Highway 40. This traffic report is brought to you by Account Temps. Do you need temporary accounting and finance expertise? Call Account Temps. They can provide accounting and finance professionals when and where you need them. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095. The Big 550 celebrates unsung Black American heroes, people you may not have heard of who helped make our way of life possible.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jackson. Elijah McCoy was born in 1844 and had a knack for taking things apart and putting them back together. He was lucky enough to study mechanical engineering in Edinburgh, Scotland. After the Emancipation Proclamation, he moved to Ypsilanti, Michigan. Even though he finished his studies as a master mechanic engineer, no one would hire him in that capacity. He took a position as a fireman on a steam locomotive, shoveled coal, and made sure all the working parts were well oiled. He designed and patented a way to automate that labor-intensive task, which was used on every steam engine since. He also designed a movable ironing board and the lawn sprinkler. Elijah McCoy left behind a legacy of excellent inventions and his name because of his standard for superiority, the real McCoy.
Stay tuned during February as we celebrate Black History Month on the Big 550 KTRS. Amazing Siding has an unbelievable pre-spring manufacturer's rebate promotion going on now. If you schedule now, you can receive 0% interest for 5 full years, plus a $2,250 manufacturer rebate towards the purchase of Infinity from Marvin Fiberglass Windows, plus an $1,125 rebate towards the purchase of any Infinity fiberglass patio door. That's like starting your estimate with thousands off right from the start. On top of the rebate, take advantage of no money down, no interest for 5 full years, and maybe the best part, you don't even have to make a payment for the first 5 months. You only have a couple of weeks to schedule. 2015 manufacturer rebates and financing expire February 20th. So, to take advantage, call them now. Call Amazing Siding at 636-230-5800. That's 636-230-5800. Or online at AmazingSTL.com. Previous purchases excluded. Limitations apply. Call for details.
Newsflash for anyone suffering with sleep apnea who uses a CPAP system. SoClean.com is offering a 30-day in-home trial of the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. This special opportunity is available on a strict first-come, first-served basis. To stop cleaning your system by hand, try the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner, risk-free for 30 days. Call immediately 1-800-500-5403. SoClean is scientifically proven to destroy 99.9% of all CPAP germs, viruses, and bacteria. It's completely hands-free and hassle-free, and it works in minutes. No need to take apart your system or use any water. To introduce this life-changing breakthrough to the world, SoClean.com is offering risk-free trials to anyone who calls in the next 10 minutes. To stop washing your CPAP system by hand, try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-500-5403. This is an exclusive radio offer and supplies are limited. That's 1-800-500-5403.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job, but I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me. And I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called AIG Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for AIG Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old, we could find you a $250,000 policy for $14 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-710-2248.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-710-2248. 1-800-710-2248.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule. For information, call 1-800-577-6026. Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-577-6026. That's 1-800-577-6026.
Hi, this is Mike Kelly. When I'm looking to send flowers to a loved one for a birthday, anniversary, or that special occasion, I call my friends at Walter Knoll Florists. Walter Knoll is family-owned and operated and offers custom designs by expert designers, a huge inventory and selection that only the largest florist can offer, with quality and care that no grocery store florist can meet. They have several locations in the St. Louis metro area to serve you. Order online today at WKF.com. Walter Knoll Florists, your personal florist since 1883.
81% of Americans failed a basic financial literacy test. Could you be overconfident when it comes to your investments? Get a retirement crash course on America's Wealth Management Show this Saturday afternoon at 1 right here on 550 KTRS.
I know what that music means.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law.
Means we're back with Scott Sherman.
Who is right, who is wrong?
Ready to take your calls. We have a few lined up, so I don't think I need to give the phone numbers out. We'll start with Kathleen. Kathleen, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi,
Kathleen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Okay, two real quick questions. One, does a company have to get their W-2s out in a timely manner, and that being?
Yes, because otherwise the employee would not have the ability to file their taxes.
And what does a timely manner mean? The end of February, 1st of March?
Yeah, because you have until April 15th without an extension to file, and dumping it on you on March 29th is not a reasonable amount of time.
Because what everybody at work saying that they had to have them out by the 31st, and we still have not yet gotten our W-2.
You know, I hear this about the end of January, and I'm not sure that's a federal law regulation, or if that's just sort of a rule of thumb. Do you have an accountant or a tax preparer that you use for your taxes?
I do.
Ask them.
Okay.
They are smarter about that than me.
My second quick question was, is can a company ask you to come into work on your day off, being Sunday, and have a mandatory meeting and not pay you for it?
Do you have a contract with them?
No contract.
Then yes, they can.
Then yes, they can. Now, if it is there have been lawsuits about, and this goes back to some Walmart cases, this goes back to some other large lawsuit class actions, whether or not the mandatory part of the meeting is subject to wage and hour. I will look that up and see, but it's not something that they can't make you come to. The question then would be whether attendance or not, yes, you have to attend, as Simon says. Compensation or not, it depends on some recent Supreme Court cases. I'm guessing if it's mandatory, they might have to pay you something, but I don't think that they absolutely do. That's a question that I think I have to punt on
it. The only thing she has, is it a Sunday, Kathleen?
Yeah, it's a Sunday, and I usually go to church on Sunday.
There you go. You know what? There you go. Use the religion card.
Yes.
Because they can't screw with that.
Well, they can fire you, but you...
But then you can sue them. You can sue them because they fired you because you were practicing your religion.
A religious discrimination, yes.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. Thank you, Frank.
You bet. See, she's thinking we're both her attorneys now.
First of all, you're the better attorney on that question than I.
Hey, give them your email address. We haven't done that yet.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
All right.
And I thank all the listeners. I get a lot of emails, and they are great. Thank you.
All right. John's next. John, say hi to Scott Sherman.
I'm in the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I live in a small neighborhood of about 90 homes, and we have road assessment dues every year, $50 per lot, and there is about a third of the neighborhood that just refuses to pay road assessments. And plus there's open lots that people own, but they don't pay the road assessments because they don't live here. some liens have been placed on them, and but because of the amount of money that doesn't come in, hiring a lawyer is an expensive thing to do to eat up your road due money to go after the other money. Is there a, I guess I'm asking, is there a faster way to do it? Can you bulk these things together and go after the people en masse, or do you have to go to small claims for every person that's not paid?
No, I don't know if this, and you said you live in a community. Is it an incorporated village or something like that, or is it just a subdivision?
No, it's just a small neighborhood that was developed in the 60s.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. How many people are we talking about?
90 homes.
Scott, could they not send a letter, an email to everybody naming all the people who aren't contributing?
Yes, it's true.
Embarrass them. Shame them.
But do you have an association?
We don't have an association, but we have trustees that the only thing they've been enacted with by the bylaws of the neighborhood.
It's not like St. George or some, you know, con artist kind of little village in North County somewhere, anything like that.
No,
right?
this is just a
subdivision.
There's 90 homes, but there's some 500 lots in the neighborhood.
All right, so it's not an ordinance violation, so you can't send them a summons to come to court. I would say that there are collection lawyers that would be happy to take a bulk docket of 45 or 50 potential defendants that have no real defense, that have homes that could have liens against them, and they would do that. They will take, you know, some credit card business. So, yeah, there's a bulk docket for the associate court. Is this in St. Louis County?
No, this is in Jefferson County.
In Jefferson County, same thing. There's tons of collection lawyers that would love to get their hands on. And you say 90 people in the subdivision. Is it 25, 50, 40? How many people are not in compliance? How many are lax?
Well, that's the thing. There's 90 people that live here, but like on my home, I have 10 lots.
Okay.
So my dues are $500 a year.
I'm talking about the number of offending lots. Is it 45? Is it half?
There's about 120 lots.
Right. The short answer is that if you'd like to send me an email, I have a very good collection lawyer who would probably be willing to take a look at this. And if you're interested or the association is interested, take a look at it. Of course, you can sue them. And the other question is, well, what was this agreement? Does it run with these people? Did they sign up for it? Is it valid? Get that looked at. You might have to change your agreement because Dan said something really interesting. Do you have an association? Why not have standing to sue them?
Okay, because we even had some people, supposedly you're not supposed to sell the house without selling your liens, without settling the liens.
Yeah.
And they sold and left. Well, then the next person bought the house, and they came in, and it's like, well, there's a lien on the property. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm not paying those liens. I didn't live here.
Well, you guys in the association, whether it's loose or proper, you have to file these liens and record them, because if you go to a closing and there's a real bona fide lien, you ain't closing. So you guys don't have liens. What you have are claims, and you need to straighten that out too.
Yeah, they can do a title search. My mom's kind of going through that right now, trying to sell some property. Did the people, like, if you move into a brand new person moves into the neighborhood, do they have to sign a document that says, I agree I'm going to pay $50 a year for road maintenance?
Actually, no, there's nothing. They're supposed to.
All right, well,
there's been a few
things
people
involving
that come in that
real
never go to the trustees to do this.
John, we don't have a ton of time, but things involving real estate must be in writing. It's called the statute of frauds. You may have terrible claims, and what your association, which you don't have, needs is A, an association, and B, some written agreement that people have to sign so it's enforceable. You may have water on your hands. So get in touch with whomever. You want to send me an email, I'll get in touch with my guy. But don't assume it's a lien, because they wouldn't be able to close unless it was a lien. And don't assume it's enforceable just because you sent out some notice.
Grab a pen, because before this is over, we'll give the email address again, okay?
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Keith's up next. Keith, we're running short. Yeah, hit him with it. Here's Scott Sherman.
All right. Hey, guys, AM and PM.
Thank you.
Homeowner's warranty. I purchased a homeowner's warranty. I had a problem with my oven. The homeowner warranty company sent out a guy to assess the problem, supposedly fixed it. The next day, opened the oven doors, oven door problem. The oven door fell off again.
Wow.
Is this a homeowner's warranty that the previous owner took out?
No, we bought it. We've had it for five. We renew it every year. We've had it for 5 years.
Frank, nail this one.
Now, I got to tell you something. Most of these things are crap. They are. There's so much fine print in these things. I had one of these one time. Never again. Worthless. Air conditioning problem. Well, we only cover, and if you start reading the fine print, we only pay this much of the cost, and only if the air conditioner is this age, and only if it's this type and this size, and blah, 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 blah. Worthless.
You're right. You're right. You're 100% right. But the warranty company, I would call them. They have the oven's a $3,500 oven. It's a Jenner oven, $3,500. So I called them, and they sent out another guy. They use subcontractors, another company like ABC, just Joe's Appliance. It's nobody's real name, but just a fake name. But they sent out another guy to look at the door, the oven hinge. And this guy says, here's the catch. The oven is non-repairable. Whoever put the hinge in the first time, it's destroyed.
Yeah, you're playing Abbott and Costello with these people. How much is this stupid thing every year?
It's $400.
How many years are you into these people for?
I've had it for 5 years now.
Yeah, guess what? Cancel the thing, and you can find a new oven when the thing breaks, and you're going to save money.
Well, this is a terrible investment. Hold on. The warranty company's paid off. Their max on it is $2,000. My question is, do I have any claim against the guy that came out to screw the oven up to start with against his company at all?
Well, I mean, how did his hinge screw up the entire thing? If he has insurance, you could make that claim. But you're going to need an expert. You're making a claim for, I don't know, the difference between what your warranty company would pay and what it would be to get a new oven. You want to do a small claims case for $1,500? You're going to spend a lot of money on it. Get rid of this warranty and go on Craigslist and buy some used ovens.
Thank you, Keith. Wow, another one. Give me your email address again, Scott.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
All right, Scott Sherman, everybody. We'll do it again next Thursday. I'm sorry we did this to everybody, but we never can because every week we have a stack of people waiting to get in here. Peon, if I turn it over to you, you got time to get in the traffic?
I think quickly.
Let's do it. Let's check on traffic. Here's Tim Weiland, everybody.
Okay, they're working with a crash on southbound 270 at Graboid that has the left lane blocked, and right now traffic is pretty well jammed up from Highway 40. You've got the eastbound 40 driver slowing from Compton to the Poplar and westbound 40 Compton out through McCausland. This report brought to you by Wix.com. Create your own free professional website with Wix.com. No tech skills are needed, and you can choose from hundreds of beautifully designed templates. Get your business online today for free at Wix.com.